Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethea, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show is this: power in numbers and the positive change. Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The positive change of purchasing LLC's serves, as we indicated, as an economic blueprint for renewable energy companies, both large and small, large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American acting renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to build capacity and initiatives for renewable energy projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African and African-American men and women locally and nationally and throughout the diaspora. Also to educate the African and African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts climate change and the need for environmental education through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, you know I'm your host, Ronald Bethea, and that call-in number every week is never changes. It's 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a scheduled guest for today's show, but we have a very, very some interesting subject matter that we felt is urgent that needs to be brought to the African-American community's attention nationwide. Now, this information is put out by the White House Office of Environmental Equity. Now, these services and programs that we are looking at right now and talking about have the opportunities and funding levels which they are going national. And they are national. So with that being said, as I indicated, we're talking about the latest news. The latest news from the White House Initiative Council on Environmental Equality. Now we finally got it right. We apologize, ladies and gentlemen. We were trying to get to our article here online. Now, this article came out on September the 30th, of this year, 2023, and as I indicated, it was put out by the White House Council on Environmental Quality. It went on to say, the Biden administration has hosted its first ever White House summit on building climate resilience and communities. There's a blue link here, which you will be able to click on, and it'll take you into an even more in-depth article, which includes representatives from more than 25 states, territories, and tribal nations. The summit, which fulfill a commitment, there's a blue link, once again, which provides that written commitment President Biden made in June. It underscores the administration's commitment to solutions that will both dramatically reduce greenhouse gas emissions and better manage climate threats, recognizes the importance of local, tailored, community-driven strategies. The injection with the summit, the Biden-Harris administration releases the National Climate Resilience Framework, which is a blue link, ladies and gentlemen, which will give you even more detail by clicking on that link. A vision for climate resilience nation designed to guide and align climate resilience investments and activities by the federal government and its partners. The framework identifies common principles and specific actions to accelerate programs towards six objectives. Now, the federal agencies also announced new actions, including awarding the availability of more than, listen ladies and gentlemen, $500 million in dedicated funding. There's a blue link. Click on it. It will take you into those funding programs to build the climate resilience. Now, this is where we're going to look at. President Biden designed a presidential memorandum which prioritized the restoration of health and abundance for Sime and other native population of wildlife fish through the Columbia Basin, the U.S. Department of Treasury. There is approximately one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, EPA announced availability, $100 million in grants to support efforts to support reduced climate pollution links to manufacturing, construction materials, and products, which amounts to 7% of annual greenhouse gas emissions. These are all opportunities that are available on this page, but we're going to stay at the top, and we're going to drill down on this summit fact sheet, which has been put out once again by the White House briefing room in conjunction with the Summit on Building Climate Resilience Communities. Administration's announced more than $500 million in additional investments for resilience. Across the country, Americans are experiencing devastating impacts, climate change. In just the first 8 months of this year, there's been 23 separate billion-dollar weather climate disasters, more than any other year on record. And the longer-term effects of the climate change, including sea level rise, hotter average temperatures, changing in precipitation, raining patterns, and more, are affecting every corner of society, every community in America. That's why the president is leading the most ambitious climate conservation and environmental justice agenda in history. Now, all of this information you will find here. Today, the president, Biden, is fulfilling this commitment he made in June to host the first ever White House summit on building climate resilience communities. This summit, which will include representatives, once again, from 25 states, territories, and tribal nations underscores the administration's commitment to the solutions that will both dramatically reduce greenhouse gas emissions and better manage climate threats, and recognizes the impact of local, tailored, community-driven strategies. I hear everybody, but who represents the African-American community at the table on this? Because we don't seem to have an organization that's speaking to these issues, okay, from a truth to power perspective. Now, the National Association of Blacks and Solar, as a public policy advocacy group, we have no problem with taking on that role, and we speak to that role through this medium here on through the platform of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. And being that we are a legal 501c3 entity with IRS, we feel as though we have the legal right to do so, so we do so. Okay? Now, in keeping this show moving, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the summit will amplify the leadership of climate resilience practitioners nationwide, the construction workers, educators, resource managers, city and state resilient officers, emergency managers, local and tribal leaders, and many others who are thriving to help their communities adapt today's climate impacts, prepared for the future climate risk. I see no voice for Black folks at the table on this one from the perspective of the business aspect of it. Where is the economic development plan for African Americans in the implementation of the Build Back Better and the Biden infrastructure plan? Now, as we scroll back up to the top of the page and to get back into the gist of this article, which we wanted to share this complete article with you, and we're going to drill down and break it down. But you got to remember that calling number, once again, for the show, that calling number, once again, for the show is what? 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because we want to stay focused on looking at this very important information that's being put out by the White House office on these issues, which we, a lot of times, are not at the table. Okay? Now, as we were saying, we were looking at the fact sheet, and under the fact sheet, it talks about the 23 billion separate weather disasters. Now, if you click on that link, it will take you to the National Centers for Environmental Information. Some people call it NOVA, and it breaks down the events, 18 events, cost $177.6 billion, 60 events, 90 events, cost $620.6 billion annually. And we just getting to 2000, that was from 2011, and it goes back to 2010, total of 67 events. And once you look at the 90s and look at the costs, you can see the increase with the frequency of these national disasters. Over the U.S. has sustained 371 weather and climate disasters since 1980, where overall damage costs exceeds $1 billion, including the CPI adjustment for 2023. The total cost of the 371 events, you ready for this? Exceeds $2.615 trillion. I say nothing about a B. I said with a T. $1 trillion. In 2023, as of September 11th, there has been 23 confirmed weather climate disasters events, losses exceeding $1 billion each to affect the United States. These events include two flooding events, 18 severe storm events, one tropical cyclone event, one wildfire event, one winter storm event. Overall, these events result in the deaths of 253 people and has significant economic impacts on areas impacted. The 1980 to 22 annual average is 8.1 CPI adjusted annual average for more than 5 years, 2018 through 22, is 18.0 events. And all of this is laid out in a very, very professional done graph that breaks down the country and a map, and it shows you U.S. 2023 billion-dollar weather and climate disasters. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all here through the website of PositiveChangePC.com. That's PositiveChangePC.com. Like I said, you want to be right in the room as we are, talking about these events and how these events are leading the way as it relates to President Biden's commitment to combat climate change. Now, when we begin to look at this and look at how this plays into the National Climate Resilience Reform Framework, this is a National Climate Resilience Framework which has been put out since September of this year in a PDF. And in its introduction, the National Resilience Framework becoming nationwide. Introduction. Throughout our history, we, the only nation in the world that has come out in every crisis, we've entered stronger than we went into it. We're doing it again here on the climate crisis. This is dated by June 19th, 2023. This is signed and authored by with President Biden's name at the top. Across America, climate change is accelerating the frequency and fueling the severity of extreme weather events, resulting in tragedies and new realities that once seemed unimaginable. 100 million Americans have been personally affected by extreme weather events over the past 2 years. Communities are enduring historic catastrophic flooding, wildfires, extreme heat, drought, and more, while long-range changes in temperature affect ecosystems that economics that depend on them. These intensifying impacts on climate change are costing lives, disrupting livelihoods, and causing billions of dollars in damage. In the face of these perils, Americans are not standing idle. They are rising to confront this rising and challenging climate change in extraordinary, inspiring ways. I hear all of this stuff. Where's the meat? In the African-American community. As the president of the National Association of Blacks and Solar, reaching out, trying to build these collaboration, it's very, very dormant and quiet as it relates to our HBCUs, what is going on their campuses, what they're involved in. And these collaborative groups like the HBCU Collaboration Group, they have Mr. Henry Gallat, who is affiliated with the Community Development Center at Arkansas Pine Bluff. I think he's one of the officers with that HBCU collaboration group. They have a website. I recommend strongly that our listeners or anyone listening to this podcast go to their website along with the organization called Black Owners of Service Solar Services, which we're going to drill down on a little further in this broadcast to talk about the commitment that was made back on February 22nd of 2023 of this year, where they were supposed to be holding an African-American summit for African-American renewable energy companies participating in this, trying to participate in this new green economy, which is a multi-billion dollar industry, which we have been beating the drum through the National Association of Blacks and Solar and the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative as to where is the Green Economic Development Plan for African Americans and the implementation of the Biden Infrastructure Plan, which includes the Build Back Better and the Inflation Reduction Act, known as the IRA. These questions we pose to the head of the Department of Energy, Mrs. Jennifer Grant Holmes, in the last couple of years, attempting to try to get her to come on a webinar to address our firms. So they decided they wouldn't take the invitation that was handed out with the American Association of Blacks in Solar, ABE, and the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative to be a part of the webinar. We reached out to the CBC and tried to get on their Congressional Black Caucus, we being one of the presenters in their think tanks, and that didn't happen. But this year it was supposed to happen with Black Owners of Solar Services, which they had a webinar, and I was at the CBC here this year. It was not held in the Washington Convention Center, and I was not able to locate it. So with all of these things and moving parts, as important as this information that I am providing to you, my listening audience today, it would seem that we would have a little more coordination at this point in time as African Americans when we jump out here and want folks to vote and want folks to do this, that, and the other. We have to say, well, where's the check? Now, let's drill down on this piece a little stronger, okay? The administration has taken historic steps to provide federal support, resources, and investments needed to help America's communities meet the climate challenges of today and prepare for the climate stresses of tomorrow. In his first week in office, Biden signed Executive Order 14008, tackling the climate crisis at home and abroad, mobilizing the first ever whole of government approach to address climate change. Under the president's direction, every federal agency is focused on strengthening the nation's climate resilience, including tightening the flood risk standards, strengthening the building code, scaling technology solutions, protecting and restoring our land and waters, and integrating natural-based solutions. At the center of this work is the president's investment agenda, the largest investment in clean energy and climate change in history. But let's go back to Executive Order 14008. It becomes real very important. But we're going to go a little farther. The bipartisan infrastructure law, resilient strategies in every community now. Now, the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act dedicated $50 billion to advance climate resilience strategies in every community across America now, while also slashing greenhouse gas emissions to reduce climate impacts of the future. Because of these signature laws, roads and bridges are being elevated above projected flood zones. The grid is being made cleaner, more flexible and more reliable. Coastal ecosystems are being restored to buffer the impacts of flexible and more reliable coastal are being boosted to the impacts of hurricanes Federal firefighters are getting a boost in pay. Housing and buildings are being constructed and retrofitted to better withstand extreme weather and public lands forecast. Now, these are all initiatives, ladies and gentlemen, that are taking place as we speak, okay? Now, the fact sheet, Biden administration, historic investment to build climate resilience. There is a link there. You can click on that link and it takes you directly into that. So we'll use that, but as we go down, we want to go down a little farther. Water are being managed to mitigate the widespread withstand wildfires and droughts. The federal investments have also embodied the private sector to mobilize capital investments in innovation. In delivering these transformational investments, providing such needed policy changes, the administration is laser focused on ensuring that no community is left behind. The administration recognizes that all are the risks and impacts of climate change disproportionately concentrate in low-end communities of color, as well tribal nations. But these communities often face steeper road in to recover when disaster strikes. To protect all from harm's way, the administration has placed an environmental economic justice center of its climate resilience agenda, Executive 14096 of the Revitalization Act of our nation's commitment for the environmental justice for all, which President Biden signed on April 21st, 2023. Directs every federal agency to advance environmental justice to all of it, including work to better protect communities from the environmental justice concerns, from increasing impacts on climate change. It is also vital to the administration in implementing the Historically Justice 40 Initiative, which has set the goal that 40% of all benefits to certain federal investments in climate resilience discussion in this framework are Justice 40 covered programs. The investments are all resilient and strong protections from flood, fires, heat storms, drought, and other climate-related impacts in neighborhoods across the nation. Now, let's put a plug in that, ladies and gentlemen. Let's look at this from another perspective. I'm changing hats right now, as I sit in the seat, and I'm putting on the one as president of the National Association of Blacks and Solar, who have been in communications, who have applied for these federal grants. Last year around this time, we were hoping, but we found out that we were not one of the awardees who applied for a grant called through the Department of Commerce called the Good Jobs Challenge. It had $500 million. In this particular grant, this grant was for workforce development training. That is the reason why I'm speaking to this issue and the Justice 40. Now, from that grant application, we had Tougaloo College from Mississippi. As I lead fiduciary, we had Mr. Will Shirley of Sundial Solar USA, who also serves as the vice president of the National Association of Blacks and Solar. Working with Tougaloo, they have developed a curriculum based out of Atlanta, Georgia. We had a group called Global Apprenticeships, which is two young African-American gentlemen who happen to have a contract with the Department of Labor to place young people in jobs after they receive their, what they call NATCET certifications, which are the primary thing that one needs through the internship programs with the unions, and you don't need a four-year degree to become an electrician for EV charging, wiring, and construction, and they are needed right now in a quick hurry for energy auditors, for installers of PV systems, which for commercial and rooftop purposes, you need installers. Now, the solar industry, we talked about some of those numbers, and we'll look at some of those numbers as they projected how they were supposed to be growing through fiscal 2022 through 2023, projected out to needing them 1.5 a million and a half by 2035, which is what is projected. But what our issue is, well, out of $500 million that went out the door, we were aware of 8 HBCUs that had 11 different applications for workforce development training cohorts. Only 2 was for energy. Now, going back to our group, we had from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr., and he's based in Washington, D.C. He has two companies. One is called Urban Solar. He operates in Atlanta, Georgia under that trade name. He operates here in Washington, D.C. as WDC Solar. Mr. Mark Davis, one of the founding members of the National Association of Blacks in Solar. From Columbus, Georgia, we had Mrs. Chanel Medford of Solar Times USA. And from Howard County, servicing Pigeon, Prince George's County in Baltimore City, and Howard County in Prince George's County, we had Mrs. Cherie Brooks, who is the day-to-day CEO of Power 52 in partnership with Mr. Robert Wallace of Biff Energy out of Baltimore, one of our leading African-American solar design firms. Now, this group made up a cohort, and we went after a $19 million grant to train almost 800 young people in becoming electricians for EV charging infrastructure, energy auditors, and solar installers in 7 states in the District of Columbia, stretching from Mississippi to the state of Maryland. Now, we weren't successful in winning the grant award out of $500 million and 8 HBCUs with 11 different applications for workforce development. One was funded. North Carolina A&T received $23.7 million, and that's a good thing. But they were partnered with Siemens Energy and Duke Energy. And as we do know, these are major corporations and players. So if 40% of the benefit is supposed to be going to low and moderate income communities, and when we begin to look in the solar industry, looking at data put out by the Solar Foundation, sharing that there is only approximately less than 50 African-American solar installation and design firms in the whole United States out of over 11,000 firms. We're not talking about a hell of a lot, ladies and gentlemen. To be able to scale these firms to meet just the need, this need surely deserves more public attention, more funding, more exposure, more conversations in the right venues concerning employment and opportunities to grow the African-American footprint in these industries for our young people. Now, we can't make anybody do anything, but we will shine the light on this issue. So that's why we're here today looking at this thing. Now, let's look at this what these things truly mean. Now, we talked about two executive orders, which was 14008 and one was 14096. Now, this particular was executive order. President Biden and Vice President Harris believe that every person has the right to breathe clean air, clean water, and live in a healthy community now and in the future. During this first week in office, bam, this goes right back to the same discussion, what he did. But that, okay, well, that's good. We got all that. Now let's move down to what does this mean to you? End executive order, revitalizing the nation's commitment to an environment for justice for all. It deepens the Biden-Harris administration as a whole governmental commitment for environmental justice. A new executive order clears the way the pursuit for environmental justice is a duty of the executive branch and should be incorporated in the mission. It also confirms environmental justice central to the implementation of our bedrock civil rights and environmental laws. It's supposed to better protect overburdened communities from pollution and environmental harms. Executive orders direct agencies to consider measures to address and deepen disproportionate adverse environmental health impacts for communities, including cumulative impacts of population, other burden-like changes. Additional requires agencies to notify nearby communities in the event of released toxic substances from federal facilities, to hold the public meetings to share information and resulting health risks, and all these are federal mandates, but how are they binding on the state? Now, we're going to drill down on this. Strengthen engagement with the community and mobilize federal agencies to confront existing legacy barriers of injustice. Yeah, it is. Okay, solid. Let me see. Communities with environmental justice concerns having a voice in federal decision-making. Executive order recognizes the reality that racism is a fundamental driver of environmental injustice. Okay, it does. It directs agencies to actively facilitate meaningful public and just treatment to all people in agencies' decision-making. The executive order also underscores the vital importance for tribal consultations and coordination, including strengthening the nation-to-nation relationship to issues involving environmental justice. But who knows about this? Promote the latest science, data, research, including cumulative impacts. Executive order agencies to identify, address gaps in science, data, research related to environmental justice, to advance analysis, cumulative impacts, and to make information on environmental and health concerns more public accessible to communities. Well, how are you going to do that? Where's the money for the advertising dollars from this program? If you're going to do all this to address these needs for coordinated strategies for identifying, fulfilling environmental justice data and research gaps, because we didn't just start this show yesterday. We've been doing this since 2015. We look up, we're 8 years in the struggle. We still can't get money to go to McDonald's. Let me see, how do we do this thing? To address the need, the coordinated strategies for identifying environmental justice data research gaps, orders, establish new environmental justice subcommittees, nationwide science and technology council led by the Office of Science and Technology and Policy. To expand interagency coordinators, launch new offices of environmental justice within the White House Council on Environmental Quality. To increase accessibility, transparency, and federal environment justice policies. Honor and build foundations on ongoing environmental justice work. Now, this is a whole lot, ladies and gentlemen, and I can't get through all of it, and I'm at 440, in my show, then I got to get knocking on the door. Now, the action follows on the President Biden promise to modernize and improve the federal government, confront environmental justice to address hundreds of present and future generations, a promise he has made following engagement with communities of environmental justice concern or the Executive 1408 Tackling Climate Change Home and Abroad. You click on that, executive order. This gives you more data, gives you more information to back up what I'm saying. This is the point I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. Out of 50 states, 50, only four, one, two, three, four, state legislative bodies have had legislation introduced by a legislator and passed legislation holding the state legally binding to the purpose of which the federal funding coming out of these agencies committed to all 50 states, where the governor can't do what he want to do if the state legislature passes the legislation. It's codified. Only four states, California, New York, because Biden's from Delaware and because of James Clyburn and the energy crisis from the nuclear power plant fiasco in the state of South Carolina, the only red state that has passed that legislation, codifying it, making it legally binding on the state in terms of how these funds must be applied. But if you don't apply for the money, if you don't know it's there, how do you know to go and apply for the funds? And they have had to put what they call technical assistance centers have been funded to help these small rural towns and counties apply for these dollars because they don't have the infrastructure capacity and grant writers to go after this money. Now, how do you get this information disseminated to those people who can make a decision that will do something? I have a story on Mississippi. Mr. Will Shirley has a story called Solarize the Delta. I'm going to be bringing him back on to this platform in the very, very near future, hopefully next week, to talk about this, where he is right now in the midst of applying for federal assistance and grants that I have provided the data and information and research on, and the state of Mississippi seems to want to cannibalize what he's doing and not even add the various workforce development components to train our young people, but yet they're out seeking funding. So this is why I'm doing this, ladies and gentlemen. There's a reason that this is not a season, and this is some serious business. This is not a joke. So that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948, and you'll be able to get more information by logging on to our website, 646-668-2948, and you can go to our website at positivechangepc.com. You want to click on our news and events tab, and you'll be able to, once you do that, you'll be able to latest news for you, White House Council on Environmental Quality. And when you begin to click on these different links and sublinks and look at what the announcements, the large sums of funding that's coming out of these various agencies, you will say, well, why isn't this being talked about more? Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I guess if you're going to do better, you got to know better. But this is crisis situation right now. If we're not holding folks accountable, and people aren't going after these funding resources through our HBCUs and our nonprofits and our organizations out here. And if they are going after these this funding and they're not receiving the funding, then we need to be collecting that data to find out how many African-American and African-based nonprofits and organizations and businesses have gone after these grants and been turned down. Then you can know whether you get Justice 40 or Just Us with that 40 acres and that mule that we ain't got yet. Okay? You know, this thing is it goes real. It's like it seems like the farther we go forward, as we look in time, we right back looking at 40 again. It was 40 acres and a mule. Now today it's just us 40, and as Richard Pryor, just us 40, and Fairchild, Emerald Cities wrote a solution called the Community Playbook and 100% Solution. And I came on this platform and I talked about that program and the fact that we were not prepared and we were not ready as a community to do that. But, you know, sometimes things sort of meets on not definitely is, but it doesn't get there. It's not registered. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a slight pause for the calls here on Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And we'll be right back as we continue another exciting edition, Solar Now and the Future.
Life is a song once singing. Why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet, and you know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number because you'll be in our green room, and we want to bring you right on our living room so we can sit down and the old council said, speak truth to power. Now, we get a lot of blow every day in Black Talk Radio through the Urban One Radio Network. I hear conversations after conversations. But I'm not hearing anybody talk about the recap or connecting the dots on the war solar workplace. Now, this is our article, which just dropped today through the Office of Solar Energy Technology Office. And we're talking about U.S. Energy Office, Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy. That's what's called EERE. Did you know that in order to transition to a fully decarbonized electric system, the solar workforce will need to grow approximately from 346,000 workers in 2022 to between 500,000 and 1.1 million point five by 2035. This is why The U.S. Department of Energy Solar Energy Technology Office funds solar workforce deployment programs that prepare, sustain, and skill a diverse clean energy workforce. Economic opportunities in solar industry drive growth. Represents the largest employment increase from 12,000 in 256 workers to 3.7% out of the clean energy sector by 2021-2022. SETCO is helping to guide a boom in the solar economic opportunity with workforce deployment initiatives. And these are listed initiatives. You can go here and click on these links, ladies and gentlemen, and there are initiatives. And I'm going to let you listen to a very short video.
We've been able to launch a new program called Bright Solar Futures. It's the most robust training for high schoolers and for young people in the country on solar, learning how to become a solar installer, a weather and income tax, solar sales and design. We wanted to train people not just in solar, but also all of the potential and support services that go along with that. Getting kids into solar vocational training gives them a sense of what the possibilities are after they graduate and really helps keep them on track.
The average wage for a young person walking into this industry is about $42,000. That's above and beyond a lot of the industries and jobs that they walk into. So I think it's very important for our students in Philadelphia to learn about solar energy and let them know that they are and can be a part of it. It's one of the better, most prepared first-year programs that we've ever had. There's a true, genuine interest in the program. And we're optimistic that it's going to grow. Young people aged 18 to 30 in Philadelphia have an unemployment rate that is more than double the citywide average. And that gets even worse when you look at people of color and in low-income communities as well. It's really exciting to see them get this training and go straight into a workforce. And these are not just jobs, they're careers. We've had a lot of folks call and ask about the program to see how they could replicate it in their states as well. So I think there's a lot of interest. We'll be excited to see you actually move forward with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you were just listening to a short video of what's going on in the Philly, in the so-called city of brotherly love. We know it is Philly, but that's a good thing that they're training high school students in this. We can't get enough of our young people into this the industry quick and fast enough. But the purpose and one of the drawbacks with this, if you want to train these young people, then you need companies to hire these young people. And if you're not going to hire our young people, because you got less than 50 African-American companies nationwide, if the white companies are not going to hire our young people, then we have to have businesses and companies with those contracts and opportunities that with enough jobs and enough work to keep our people steady working. This is where the breakdown is in this whole piece, ladies and gentlemen. I'm speaking to you as the president of the National Association of Blacks and Solar. This is no joke. Mr. Davis, he does WDC Solar. They do an excellent job with the workforce development training cohort that they have here in Washington, D.C. And one thing Mark always said to me, he said, Ron, I'm not going to train them if I can't get them a job. If I can't put them to work, I don't need to train these people, because one of the worst things you can do to young people is they get out there and sacrifice and come and get this certification, then you can't keep them employed. This is something that's been expressed by Dr. Lillian Abrams over at Peer Consultants, one of our founding members of the National Association of Blacks and Solar. She says, hey, they have to be cross-trained, so not only can they do solar installs, but they also can be trained as electricians for commercial construction. You have to be cross-trained. So I agree with that, because you don't put people out here and you put them in a position where they got to have just one option kind of economy. They've got to be able to take that same skill and make it flexible, where you can go from doing PV, EV charge installations to commercial, electrical, or residential and home. so you can do it all. That way you don't have to worry about looking for work. Work will look for you. Now, we have just about come to the end of our program for the day, ladies and gentlemen. But I think that we brought you news that you can definitely use here on this another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We try to keep it in the loop. We try to keep it done. We try to keep it moving on time, so because we understand that there's plenty of things that people can be doing with their time. But see, if you want to bring people to the table, then you want to bring to and connect the dots. All of these programs and all these initiatives are great. I still have not seen the check. So as it relates to the National Association of Blacks and Solar and the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, we will continue to bring news that you can use. We will continue to speak truth to power about where we are and what we're doing. And remember that the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for renewable energy companies, both large and small, as well as increasing market share for African and African-American renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for renewable energy projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the African-American and African-African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impact of climate change and the need for environmental education through Black Talk Radio programs, such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to our website at positivechangepc.com. You'll be able to click on these two links, which you'll find under our News and Events tab. There are many links inside of these two specific articles that will provide you with enough data. And little boy said to choke a mule, you can get plenty of information. And if you take this information and you apply it the right way, you can put some money in your pocket. That's not just me talking. That's a fact. Because if it don't make money, it don't make sense. A young man told me that a long time ago. He said, Pops, I don't mean no harm, OG, but if it don't make money, it don't make sense. So in retrospect of what that young person told me that day, I agree. If it don't make money, it don't make sense. And we're paying for this. All you got to do is check out your electricity bill and look at these new fees that they got tied on to your bill. So we're going to pay whether we are participating in new industry that's coming in a new day. And that's the way that is, ladies and gentlemen. So until next week, we say we hope you brought you news that you can definitely use. And remember to go in peace as we close another exciting edition of Soul and Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Until next week, we say go in peace.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life.